Blog Talk Radio.
What's going on, Blog Talk Radio Nation? You are tuned into the cutting room floor. I am LeVar, and as usual, I am always joined by my lovely co-host, Mary. Mary, are you with us?
Yes, I am. How are you doing this fine Friday?
I am doing well. That's all I have to add. Before we begin today's show, a couple of things I want to get out of the way in terms of old business and the new business. The first thing, and I'll add a couple of things from later on, but the first thing is I want to thank everybody again because as of this morning, the show that we did a couple of weeks with Lacey Wilde has now hit the 1,000-plus mark in terms of total hits.
Woo!
So that's pretty big news. Yes, number 1,000, that's far more than I think a lot of shows that we've done on Blog Talk Radio. Also, before I forget, you can catch us on Facebook at News and Comment Network Blog Talk Radio LeVar, or on Twitter at News Comment BTR. There you will find all of the latest things surrounding our shows, show links, show times, etc. And next Thursday at 5:30 Central Standard Time will be part two of my interview with Spontaneous Ecstasy, or as she goes now by Spontaneous. Spontaneous at one point was an adult film star, and she was also the only female that Tupac ever managed. We talked with Spontaneous back in November, and we said that we were going to bring her back, and of course we will, and it's now going to be next Thursday, 5:30 Central Standard Time, so don't miss that. And we got a couple other 401 lounges that we're working on, so I will let you all know on our show pages of when those will occur. So, with that out of the way, and with more news headed toward the end of the show, this week's show will be a little different. The gauntlet's kind of been thrown down a little bit. And I will be the first to admit, if there's one ongoing thing that this show has pretty much talked about, it's kind of gone away from its beginning stages of when we just talked about anything out of the news. And it's called the cutting room floor, which pretty much means that anything that's really not main story-based, and pretty much main story-based now is, news stories and, other things that kind of bring you down. This show is meant to more bring you up. My lovely co-host, she didn't have an issue.
No, I didn't have an issue with it.
She didn't have an issue with it. I'm going to clear. Yes, just an observation. But you tell the folks what your observation about our shows were.
That the cutting room floor was starting to turn into more of a dating, relationship, sex kind of show.
And so, who am I to listen and try to change that direction? Because I don't want to be known as just as that. I want this to be entertaining, but if you admit, I'll be the first to admit, any story that you bring up pretty much will always go back to dating or sex or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, any story. And I think Mary and I talked the other day, it's just about any story that we had. Like, I wanted to do a story about there was a prostitute over in some country that got electrocuted while doing the guy who she was seeing, while she was doing his clothes. She hung on the line, got electrocuted, died. Now the family wants to sue for a dowry. But I was stopped by my lovely co-host. Why?
Because it has something to do with sex.
Yes. So we get back to that story. Then I want to do a study. Yes, it all comes back around. And I want to do a couple of studies about other things, but they, once again, all came back to sex. So last week, in the middle of just a normal conversation, we actually had a conversation about something that was quite serious, something that I think kind of affects most of the kids who are pretty much in our age group of between, I want to say, 30 and up. And for some, it is a very serious issue that goes, how can I say it? I guess it's never really satisfied or taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to call out anyone in particular on this show. There's only two of us. But someone here has a issue with a well-loved or beloved children's television host that has since passed on. What is your issue, young Mary?
Mr. Rogers freaks me out. I'll be blunt about it. He freaks me out. He's creepy. He creeps me to no end. I'm trying to be serious about it. Trying to be serious. Okay, no laughing. He creeps me out.
Now, I could have took this show in a ton of other different directions today. I could have started off this show with the Mr. Rogers theme song, which I thought about.
Yeah, and I would have hung up.
In respect for my co-host, I did not. But the thing is that it is not something, she is not alone when it comes to her, not a dislike, but her, I wouldn't even want to say fear.
It's uneasy feeling. How about that?
Yes, your discomfort with Mr. Rogers.
Yes, discomfort.
But I guess to lay the facts off there, what about this wonderful gentleman who brought so much education
joy and love into the world?
Yes, what is your problem with Mr. Rogers?
Without getting into the, staying off the taboo topics for today, there's something off about that man. Like, he comes home, he changes into his slippers, he puts on his cardigan, and I have watched Mr. Rogers, so it's not like I just never watched it and freaked out from it. I did watch it, not often, but I did watch it. He puts on his cardigan and his slippers and then plays with dolls and goes into the land of make-believe and has his child, very, very, very child-friendly home. Everybody can see where this is going. And then gets up and leaves. He comes home from work, he does some stuff, and then he leaves. Why? There's aspects of it. There's things, those puppets. Oh, my God. Oh, there's that one puppet just not right. What's her name? Miss something?
I know you have a problem with Lady Elaine Fairchild, one with
that one.
Seems like the red nose.
Oh, she's just creepy on her own. You don't even have to add Mr.
Like
Rogers. If there was a show with her, I would never tune in.
Don't you like King Friday?
No. Or the cat. Or the stupid train.
Meow, meow. Meow, meow. What's your problem, man? Meow, meow.
I will disconnect. I swear to God. I will leave the show. Goodbye, everyone. I enjoyed my time. No, he creeps me out to no end. And I mean, like I said, I'm trying to stay away from the taboo topics, but he creeps me out.
So, you know, we had this conversation. This conversation last week probably went on for about an hour and a half as I tried to defend Mr. Rogers. And at the same time, Mary shot Mr. Rogers down. And I went to a couple of websites. I wanted to do the research and see if she was the only one that had this issue. And come to find out, I mean, she's not. There are people who are thinking the same thing, people who really couldn't watch Mr. Rogers growing up because of some of the content, especially when it came to the land of make-believe, but especially Lady Elaine, which kind of freaked them out. Now,
mm-hmm.
I could, you know, go and, like, get a picture and post it on our website. I'm pretty sure at that point Mary will not visit our website for a week. But she has a huge issue, but it brings to mind this question that I was thinking about. Now, not notwithstanding, I grew up watching Mr. Rogers. Even in college, you know, when I would get out of class early, I still had about 10 minutes. When I came back, really the only thing on that kind of got my attention was Mr. Rogers, because, you know, it was just like it's one of those shows that you grew up on. And I guess my question, along with that, is, you know, you are the child, you are the parent of a young child, and, well, I mean, she's around 8, but I guess my question is, are shows like Mr. Rogers or, you know, current shows like Sesame Street needed more by the kids of today, or are they past their use? Because, I mean, the thing is that if you look back, I mean, some of the things of Mr. Rogers stand the test of time. Some of the same things that Sesame Street's doing now are the same things that they've done for the last close to 40 years, except they change up on it with the times. But if they were to bring back reruns of Mr. Rogers, which I don't know why PBS stopped doing, but I know why, because, you know, he's passed, and it would be a tough thing to explain to kids that the guy who they're watching TV with, you know, was doing something circa 1980, and that he's no longer around. I can understand that. But are shows like that past their prime, day or past their use?
Never. I mean, it's when I don't like the electronic babysitter. That's the one thing I don't like. But kids are going to watch TV. There's TVs everywhere. And I think that if you're not a good parent, but if you're a conscious parent, you will want to monitor what they see and kind of steer them in the path of, you know, manners and acceptance and understanding conflict. And those are the things that we use. Those are the tools that we learn from so that we can become successful adults. And I don't think that there are enough shows for children to learn those tools. And that's why kids have problems, I think. However, it really depends on the parents and how they continue. You can't just pop a kid in front of the TV. You can't do that. And you really do have to continue the discussion after the show is over. Mr. Rogers, although he creeps me out, I appreciate that what he did. There were people that learned a lot of good things from him. It's great. I just had a personal problem with him. So I was a Sesame Street Muppet Scout, you know. That was me. with my daughter, it ended up being like Dora the Explorer and Diego and a lot of the Nick Jr. Backyardigans and that kind of thing. Little Einsteins. A lot of music, a lot of color, a lot of playfulness, but it was all cartoon. So they didn't have the kind of like Sesame Street, Mr. Rogers feel.
So you had a problem with the human, but you didn't have a problem with the Muppets. Yes.
I know, right? I should have had a problem with. There are Muppets that do creep me out too, but not all of them.
Okay.
As a whole, I can handle the Muppets. As a whole, I cannot handle Mr. Rogers and his puppets. His puppets, I think they were too realistic. Maybe that was it. I don't know. I don't know. I also have a problem with claymation, but that's a whole other story.
So you probably didn't watch much of Gumby, yes.
No. Or Mr. Hand or Mr. Watch, Will. Oh no.
Did you watch Davy and Goliath?
I have. I did.
I don't know.
I didn't like it. I didn't like it. Give me great animation or give me live action. Those are the two. Don't do this in between where it could be live action or it couldn't be. I don't know. I'm drained.
Okay, neighbor. We're going to move on to the next story.
Thank God. I can relax now.
Yes, you can relax now. You can get out of the curled up ball that you're in, so you can You're out of freedom position.
I'm totally like my knees up to my chest right now. My knees are right. Like, I was like, oh, God, Mr. Rogers, oh, God. Okay.
So I'm going to ask people out there, I mean, if you listen to today, do you have an issue with Mr. Rogers? I mean, or do you have the same problems that my wonderful co-host over here has? I would be interested to hear that, but there are people out there, and you're not alone. So moving on to another story, I was kind of surprised. Well, not surprised. I'm never surprised. But there are talks in the works for, and I'm just going to go through this real quick because I don't even know how far in the stages it is, but there are talks underway for a movie about the life of Whitney Houston. Now, names mentioned are Halle Berry, Alicia Keys, Jordan Sparks, Rihanna, Jennifer Hudson, you know, and maybe even Beyonce might be in there somewhere. My question is it too soon? And if it's not too soon, who would you like to see if you were going to go see a biopic on Whitney Houston?
I think it's a little too soon. I mean, she was just buried like 2 weeks ago. I think it is a little too soon. But then again, with the way that production and post-production and all that work, it could take long enough to have us heal. The person I would like to see is actually Jennifer Hudson. I think she could pull it off. I think she's talented enough. I think she's got a great grasp of that feel that Whitney had, that era of, you know, I want to be this person, and now I have to fight against the machine. And you can tell. So I think that she would probably be the best one. If I had to choose a second, Beyonce would probably be the... I'm always going with the singers, only because the singers... I don't like having... what was that biopic? The one with the... I want to say Mexican, but he's from Texas. Selena.
Jennifer Lopez, that, Selena?
Yeah, Selena with Jennifer Lopez. Although Jennifer Lopez did a good job of acting it, they didn't let her sing. So it was almost...
Here's the problem with it. Yeah, here's the problem we're going to have with this, because Whitney Houston was a unique voice all to her own, and I think that whoever you put in there is not even going to match, not even by a note, Whitney Houston. Whitney Houston had such a unique look, and I'm going to get in trouble for saying this, but I heard it on the talk, and there were ladies that actually said this, so I'm not going to get into all the trouble on this one. But Jennifer Hudson, while perfect for that role, does not look like Whitney Houston. You know, it's like if you want a biopic, you don't want somebody to be like totally encased in like makeup or have like a 7-hour makeup job done to look like somebody. You kind of want somebody that's like close enough as to where it's going to make sense. Like when Jamie Foxx did Ray Charles, he was close enough to the role. You know, you didn't have to do
right,
a major,
you can
like,
your belief.
Undertaking. Yeah, you didn't have to do a major undertaking tour. And when, you know, the scary thing is when Denzel Washington did Malcolm X, he looked mm-hmm. not only just like Malcolm X, but he sounded just like Malcolm X. There was no need to change anything. And
right.
I don't know if Jennifer Hudson would be convincing for me. And I don't know if anybody on this list, the closest one, I hate to say it, might be Beyonce if you kind of change some things around, but I don't want her in that role. I don't know. I think it's too soon, and I think that if we look for a new actress or somebody that kind of looks that way, maybe I'll buy it. But I don't know. In the meantime, I'm not liking the list out there, and I'm not liking Rihanna as a choice either. So,
No. The problem that I have with Beyonce is her backside.
Kind of
yeah.
So, yeah, I'm not.
But you're right. You're right.
Mm-hmm.
You're absolutely right. And there isn't. Unfortunately, there isn't, because Whitney was a model before she was a. Before she was a singer, before she was an actress, before, you know, all those things. So you have to almost get somebody that has that triple threat, and I don't see anybody like that right now.
No. The only person that comes close could be Alicia Keys, and she did a good job, I think, with Nakila and the Bee, I forgot the name of that, but she did a good job in the movie she was in. She might be the closest one. But I don't know if she's ready yet to pull off a whole major motion picture on her own. But
That was a huge thing because there's going to be a lot of people that are going to be picking it apart. A lot of people will pick it apart. It is Whitney Houston. She was such a big name.
Yeah. So, too soon for me, but yeah, we'll see where that goes. But that leads into my another question. Now, if someone said that they wanted to do a movie based on Newer Life, but I'm gonna put this question in two ways. Who would you like to see play you? Or if somebody said, hey, I want you to play somebody in a biopic, who would more than likely be the person who you'd be playing?
Oh, yeah. First of all, if somebody said they wanted to do a story on my life, I'd probably laugh them out of the room. My life? No. There is, I can't think of any major stars in the U.S. that could play my, like, be me. Only because of the uniqueness of my life. We'll do it that way. Because of the fact that I have a multiracial background and it's very tough to be able to pull that off. I have a very unique look, and that's all there is to it. So if we went international, I'm sure there are some very good actresses out there that could play me. I think they'd be bored with my life, but that's okay. If I were going to play somebody, I think the closest person that I could play and pull off would be Selma Hayek. Just because I think she'd be just fun to play. I think she would be fun to play, and I think I could probably pull that off.
Yeah, all right. See, Selma Hayek. I would go and see that.
Yeah. So now I pose the question to you, sir.
Oh,
same question.
Let's see. If I were, well, I don't know who's, I know I'm going to get into a lot of trouble by putting this out there. If I guess there was a person to play my life story, I guess you'd have to go with the odds-on choice, and that would pretty much be Forrest Whitaker, because I've always heard that comparison. I guess if I was to play the life story of someone, I hear so often I look like a lot of people,
mm-hmm.
And I guess if I were to play, you know what? Here's what I want to play the life story of. I want to play the life story of Hugh Hefner.
That'd be hours in makeup. But I, you know what? I could see where you would have that fun.
Imagine the
home.
Casting for that movie. Yes, imagine the casting for that movie, man. Oh, that would be amazing.
I'd like to be Holly Madison, then. You play you, I'll play Holly Madison on the other side of the tracks. We'll do it that way.
There we go.
I'll get the
smoking jacket, and we'll be all good to go.
This is what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's a very good question. But in all seriousness, I guess if I was to play somebody, I don't know who I would really play. I know it. I've heard even recently I look like the head coach of the Los Angeles Lakers, Mike Brown. So I was like, maybe I could play him in a biopic. I don't know.
Yeah,
the Lakers do well. So I don't know. It's a lot of possibilities there. So if people out there, if you're thinking, who would you act to have play you, or who would you like to play, you know, yourself in a movie? Yes. We got a few minutes left. So I'm coming down to two stories here. At the last second, I'm going to go with this other one. And I love this story when I first heard it, and I had to laugh because how many of us have been involved with this before? And this comes from a website, The Sideshow, where it says, you know, we all have gotten emails about, you know, scams, things that, you know, hey, if you send your money here, this is what can happen, and blah, 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 blah. Well, somebody kind of beat the system, even though they were involved in it. And this is why I love this story even more. This from The Sideshow. This scam, one Australian woman wound up in jail after turning the tables to the tune of $30,000 on a group of con artists. The Courier-Mail reported that Sarah Jane Cochran Ramsey, 23, was employed as an agent in March of 2010 by some people from Nigeria. But she didn't know that they were scam artists. Her job was to provide access to an Australian bank account open in her name, where the Nigerians could then transfer money that they had received from a phony car sales website. She was told she could keep 8% of the transfers. But then she decided to steal from the thieves themselves. According to the Courier Mail, she received two payments totaling $33,350, but spent most of it on herself. Now, if you're not familiar with the so-called Nigerian scam, which is also known as the 419 scam, or advanced fee fraud, here's a brief explanation. The fraud works by convincing an individual to give money and or bank account access to a third party in exchange for future financial rewards. So most commonly, the scam artist will claim to be a wealthy Nigerian individual looking to move, you know, his financial resources to another country. He then promises the fraud victim a hefty payment in exchange for a temporary loan or bank account access in order to facilitate the move. So, of course, the fraud victim never receives the promised payout and eventually, usually instead, winds up losing thousands of dollars in the process. And according to Scam Busters, the advanced fee fraud scams often target small business and charities. And while the scam has been around for years, the Secret Service still receives a reported 100 calls a day from people claiming to be victims of the scam. But back to her. The real victims thought that they were buying cars online, report the scam to police, who traced the account back to her. She was ordered to appear in the Brisbane District Court and pled guilty to one count of aggregated fraud. So now the court judge is allowing her time to come up with the money to pay off the fraud victims while she awaits sentencing in March. Now, she's not the first person to turn the tables on Nigerian scammers. In 2008, the radio program This American Life ran a story on some anonymous pranksters who said a Nigerian scam artist on a wild goose chase that spanned 1,400 miles into war-torn Chad for a promised cash payout at a local Western Union branch. And they convinced him to do this while carrying an anti-Muslim / pro-George W. Bush note, which stated his intention to rob the Western Union. And the entire plan was spelled out on a website dedicated to turning the tables on internet con artists. And I have to say, if anything, this lady should have got a medal for scamming the scammers. Bravo to you. Because I think we all get sick of our spam box opening it up and seeing all of this, like, these stupid letters and emails. They know the normal smart person is not going to fall prey to. I love it.
I do too. Bravo. Go girl. She should not get, no, she shouldn't have gotten, that should have gone back to the Nigerian people. There's their in, dude. There's the okay, here you go. Get them.
I know. You know, and that's such a shame. That's such a shame that this lady got she got caught on the tail end of it, but she scammed the scammer. I'd love anybody that could turn the table on people who were doing it wrong, and I actually hope she took some of that money and put it in a Swiss bank account somewhere and is collecting interest. I don't know, but if I could pay for her court cases, I would pay for it, but I can't. So, yeah. Awesome. One important note before we leave today is that we are now available on iTunes. Now, we kind of were before. That's scary. Mary and I are now available on iTunes. All of our shows are. But if you go into the podcasting section of iTunes, you can type in either my name, LeVar Evans, or you can type in DC Comic Network, and you will get all of our shows available for a nice little low price of free. So check it out if you're over on iTunes, and you can get that. And with that, that's it. We've got less than 90 seconds. You got anything else to add? Any shout-outs this week?
No shout-outs this week. You did say something about Twitter and iTunes and Facebook, so I think you covered it all, I think.
And I know we got 60 seconds, but I wanted to also give a shout-out to you last weekend for doing your 5K run.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah, that's right. I did 5K last weekend, Fine Color Run in Vegas. Fun stuff. If you get a chance to do it, do it. Walk it, crawl it,
yes.
Cartwheel it. Do the worm.
Yes.
I don't care.
It's thecolorrun.com, and it's coming to a city near you, so definitely check that out. And hopefully they'll have some open space for Mary and I here in Chicago. Maybe we'll do it here in Chicago. So.
Yeah, and it's good for charity, too. So it goes to charity.
Fantastic. And with that, the clock on the wall has told us we are out of time for this week. to see we did a show completely without sex or this or that, and that will pretty much probably be the last show we do. Because next week we'll go back to sex and sex and rock and roll, baby. Sex and rock and roll. And with that, for Mary, I'm LeVar. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Peace out.